Father, thank you for the good word of God. And Father, we pause and we thank you that you have made a way through your Son for us to call you Father. No one in the Old Testament called you Father. But Lord, you are our Father and we are your children. So Holy Spirit, administrate, teach, reveal, we ask this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. Well, if I've not met you, my name is Steve Eden. I'm the senior pastor here at Grace Church, and we're certainly glad that you're here. I'd like to take, before we get into the message, sometimes I like to share just a little bit about us. One of our values, let's see, it's on this side. One of our aligning values, we get our identity in Christ. We believe the truest thing about us is actually what God says about us, even beyond our feelings. Beyond sometimes even what we believe about ourselves. Amen. There's truth that exists beyond what you believe about yourself. And just because you choose not to believe something amazing God says about you, like you're his beloved child, doesn't mean it's not true just because you don't believe it. So therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So he is where we get our identity. Now, I always forget, so I've been circumventing that. My ask for this week, and thank you for those of you that emailed me or texted me your love letter. Please eat or sit with Jesus in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, and share your love letter or thoughts with a close friend. Or you can email it to me at steve@gracechurch.community. So Scott, I know you love this passage, so feel free to send it on down. We have been centering all we are on Jesus Christ. We're relaying him as the foundation of Grace Church and our individual lives, our family lives, businesses, whatever it may be. We've talked about how do we do that? How do we lay Christ as the foundation? How does he become the center of everything we are? Because as the world continues down its path, I like to say the world is going to world. And they're doing a lot of worlding right now. But Hebrews 12 says that we've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So as man continues to fumble in the dark, we're going to be anchored to the unshakable kingdom and the unchanging person of Jesus Christ. So in centering on him, we're knowing his person. That was last year, knowing his works. Also last year, this year, we've been looking at knowing his teaching. The first one we looked at, Jesus taught and demonstrated truth. The real reality, the parent reality. Everything you see physically came from the unseen realm, guys. So the parent realm is the realm of spirit and truth. We talked about that. And now we've been talking about, starting last week, Jesus taught and modeled God as our Father. God as our Father. So again, remember, nobody in the Old Testament called God Father. That is not how they related to him as, quote, family, or in that relational way. Now, there was a couple of references to God was the Father of Israel as a nation, but not personal. And so Jesus comes into that culture using the term Abba, A-B-B-A, which means Daddy God in our translation. He came introducing a prayer. Listen to this. When they said, teach us to pray, Jesus said, start by saying, our Father. Now, this is a big shift. This is a major shift. Because now we're talking about family. If he's your father, you're of him. Like, you came from him. You've been begotten of him by the Spirit. And that's where Jesus was headed. That's what he came to make possible. Jesus said in John 10:30, the Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. They were greatly offended. They're like, this guy makes himself out to be God. He says he's one with God. He didn't deny it either, did he? He said in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, this new covenant, you got to get in on this, guys. It is amazing. Unless you were born Jewish, you're not even included in the first covenant that was offered. This is your only chance. Now, that's some good odds, though. If Jesus is your only chance, that's not a bad thing. It's good news. That's right. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said this to the woman at the well. We looked at it last week. There's coming a time you need to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There it is again. Boy, he said this in John 8. If you know me, you'll know the Father. If you know me, you'll know the Father. Wow, that's a great statement. How many people did Jesus inflict with cancer because he didn't like them? None. How many people did he give COVID to because, you know, they had sinned the night before? None. And yet he said, hey, if you know me, you know the Father. Don't give me some man or even a theologian or seminary person's definition of who God is. You give me God's revelation of himself, and I'll give you Jesus Christ. God's perfect and personal revelation of himself is Jesus Christ. I don't have to go, Kyle, to the theologians. I can go to Christ to know who my Father is and what his character and his nature is. My goodness. And there's a book out on the bookshelf if you want more on that. The True Nature of God. I just wrote that book last year. It's revealed in Christ. So he said, if you know me, you'll know the Father. And then he said, hey, when you love the unlovely and people that are mean to you, you're sons of your Father. He said that in Matthew 5. You'll be sons of your Father. This is uncommon talk. Nobody talked this way. Jesus is coming to bring a brand new day, a brand new order where man no longer relates to God through a 6-inch veil and calls him God, G-A-W-W-W-D, but you can call him Father. Intimacy, family, relationship. My goodness, goodness, goodness. I'm reminded of Luke 11. If any of your kids asked you for bread, would you, as a dad, give them a serpent? Or ask for an egg, give them a scorpion? If you then, being carnal and just evil parents, Jesus talking to natural people, he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks him? Your Father loves you. My goodness. Let us see it by revelation, Lord. John 17, Jesus prayed this prayer. Father, I have declared to them your name, who you are, that the same love with which you love me would be inside them. A father-son relationship we have would be inside them, that they would be one as you and I are one. This is what Jesus came to bring. Peeps. Friends. Look at this. Well, there's so many, and we spend all day long looking at Jesus introducing God as Father. Here's John 14, 18. Now, he just told them, I'm gonna leave. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. I will not leave you orphans. How many of you know when you eat that word, you translate the word orphan here, it literally means fatherless. I will not leave you fatherless. You've seen me interacting with the Father, who is Spirit, who is truth. I'm going to leave you the brand new deal. I'm going to give you my relationship with the Father. See, if you're trying to relate to God through your own performance and through your own merits, you're missing it. You should be relating to God as Father through Jesus Christ, who's in you, his merits, his performance. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you'll see me because I live, you'll live also. Why wouldn't the world see him anymore? He's going to ascend. He won't be there physically. The world can only see things in one dimension. They only believe they're naturalists. They only believe in what they can see. Jesus is saying, guys, you will see me, but you'll see me by the Spirit and you'll know me by the Spirit. Verse 20, at that day, what day? The day that I come back to you and not leave you fatherless. I'm going to put the same sonship spirit that raised me from the dead that's in me, I'm putting him in you. Amen. So at that day I come back to you, you'll know then that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them, that's who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father and I'll love him and manifest myself to him. Literally means I'll show myself to him. The Amplified says, I'll allow myself to be clearly seen. Now, is he going to do that physically? By the Spirit. The testimony I read this morning of the woman that had had a difficult lifestyle. She's at the end of her rope. Lord Jesus, she didn't say Lord. She said, Jesus, if you're there, if you're real, I need you. Did he show himself to her? Yes, he did. Call upon me and I will answer you. I will rescue you. I will be with you in trouble. I will, well, rescue you and honor you with a long life. I will satisfy you and let you behold my salvation. Psalm 91 verse 16. And he did. So he wants to show himself to you by the Spirit. That was part of Laura's word this morning. He's going to show himself to you by the Spirit, heart to heart. And then Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you're going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said, hey, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him. And look at this. We, capital W, we will come to him and make our home with him. Who did he say in verse 16 was coming to make their home in you too? Let's just complete the Trinity, shall we? The Holy Spirit. And then he said, and by the way, I'm coming. And by the way, Father God is coming. What was your problem again? Worried about the world? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have made their home in you. Boy, that is powerful revelation right there. The word father in the Greek here is pater, P-A-T-E-R, where we get paternal. It's number 3962. One who imparts life and is committed to it. He's committed to you, to your development. Progenerator, originator. The one who brings into being the potential for likeness. You can't be like God without God. So he dies on the cross for your sins and then puts his DNA in his son, his offspring, on the inside of you. So now you can be like him, but not without him. When we receive faith from God, evidence of the unseen is now seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what? The evidence of him who is unseen. He is real. Ain't nobody going to tell that lady, I read that testimony to you, nobody's going to tell her he's not real. Except the world, they're like, they blow all the Jesus stuff off. Oh, no. Why? Because he can't see him. And they're so prideful, they won't receive him. My goodness. The word here, make our home, verse 23, we're going to come, we will come and make our home with him. The word home is mone. Monet, show me the Monet. Means permanent home. How long's permanent? I thought it was until you just did a big piece of stupid. Nope. Permanent home. Abide and remain in him. Wow. Father, that they would be one as you and I are one. Now, we touched on this last week, so let's go back to it. Matthew 27, 51. Jesus Christ is dying on the cross. And then behold, the veil of the temple upon his death was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earthquake and the rocks were split apart. Who tore the veil? That's right. Your heavenly Father tore that veil. It wasn't you. You didn't end the separation. So you can take all your works-based mindset and bury them. You did not end the separation between you and God's presence. He ended it. The only one who could have dealt with your sin and separation issue did. And he tore the veil, and we still have so many believers today relating to God through a 6-inch veil. Like, oh my gosh, if I do something wrong, God will burn my barley fields. He's the one who took the veil down. And guess what? He didn't just take it down so you could get in. He took it down so he could get out. So he could get in you. Because Jesus just said, the Father's going to come and we're going to make our home with you. You're going to be the new tabernacle. Amen, somebody. Remember John 2? Jesus said, do you see that temple? I'm going to tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days. They thought he was crazy. They said it took us 46 years to build that. No way you can do that. But then it says in your Bible, this he spoke of, speaking of his body. It would be buried, he'd die, bury it 3 days, come out with a brand new tabernacle for God to dwell in. We're in him, therefore God can be in us. That's the new temple. It's you. Wow. I love it. So the Father takes the veil down. Not because he was out to get you. He was actually just coming to get you. No more distance. No more separation. He ended it. He was the only one that could have. And he did. Touch your neighbor and say, he did it. See, the great part about real Christendom is it's centered on Christ. Christ is Christianity, not you, him. The only one that could have satisfied what was required, it was God himself, and he did. He acted. Now you can know God as a loving, caring, approachable Father. The veil came down so the Father could get out, right? He got out so he could get in. He got out so he could get in. Why? Right? That's a head scratcher. Why is he doing it? He loves you. He's, are you ready? Passionate about you. And you can muster all the passion you think you have for him. It pales in comparison to his passion for you. He came out so he could come in. See how we have that mindset? The veil came down so we can go in. How often did Jesus say, hey guys, now that I've died for your sin, the Holy Spirit's come, you need to go to the temple to find God. How many times did Jesus say that? Make sure you go to the tabernacle to find God. He never said it again. He never said it. Why? Because now God can live in you. And now worship is not a place. Worship is spirit and in truth, and the spirit is in you. Prove it to me. All right, John 4:21. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither worship on the mountain or Jerusalem to worship the Father. You're not going to have to go to the temple to do it. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we do. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship who? The Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. He's letting a Samaritan woman into the kingdom. What is he thinking? clearly. Is that you, Ron? That was good. He's seeing much clearer than we see. Because we're looking at skin color. What nation were you born in? What tribe did you come from? What gender are you? Because that's who the kingdom belongs to. Oh, no. The kingdom belongs to every human being that's willing to humble themselves and receive the gift. That's who's a candidate for the kingdom. But look at that. I mean, that's incredible. The Samaritan woman is being offered a relationship with God as her Father. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. We got to quit relating to God through a 6-inch veil of separation, this us and them mindset, and realize, I'm telling you guys, believers and unbelievers alike relate to God from distance and separation. Why do I mention unbelievers? Because Christ has already paid the price for them to call on God and be one with him. They don't have to do anything other than believe and receive the gift, which is him. Receive communion. This is what Jesus came to give you right here. Now, I know God is majestic. I know God is powerful. I know he is God and we are not. I know that. And the more I get to know him, the more I realize it. But I'm also telling you it was his plan. His plan. It's okay to believe what I'm saying. It was his plan all along to have this relationship with you, Father and child. This was his plan. It's okay to believe it. It was all his idea. Isn't that sobering? You mean God loves me even when I really blow it? Yeah, and it's okay to believe he does because it was his idea. You mean he calls me righteous? I'm justified. I'm in right standing with God even when I don't feel like it. Or I lashed out at my mother-in-law. I couldn't believe what I said. He still sees me righteous. He still calls me righteous? Yeah, it's true. He does, and it's okay to believe it. It was his idea. You know who balks at the things that I'm sharing? The religious and the prideful. You know who runs into their father's arms? The humble, the childlike, those who say, apart from him, I have no chance. But no longer am I apart from him. I receive him, walk with him, talk with him. He's my life. He's everything. I've given my whole heart to him. That's why the veil came down. He wants a relationship. Well, prove, Steve, it was God's idea. I don't believe you. All right, Ephesians 1:4. This is passion, translation, in love he chose us. Before the foundations of the universe were laid, before you made a mistake, he'd already chosen you. Deal with that. Because of his great love, he ordained us so we'd be seen as holy in his eyes with unstained innocence. This is his plan all along. Now, how are you and I going to get ourselves unstained innocence? How are we going to do that? We're not. So who's going to have to make that happen? He is. Did he? Okay. Then what's left for us to do? What's the work? Believe. Believe, participate, dance, enjoy him, relate to him, listen to him, do what he asks you to do. Live in relationship with him. Amen, Dottie? Yes. Verse 5, for it was always God's perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. It was always his plan. See, the old covenant, that wasn't the plan. And then he's like, man, this is not working. Let's try something else. But from before the foundations of the world, God wanted to colonize the earth with sons and daughters. Image bearers. People that had his likeness on the inside of them. So that, simple statement, but so that when people saw us, they could see him. Because he's unseen, amen? He's from the Spirit. So he gives you a gift of an earth suit. Now you can, if you're gonna lead or influence in this realm, you're going to be here, you have to have one of these. You agree? If not, you need counseling. And we will talk to you graciously. If you're going to be in this realm, you have to wear one of these. Even God himself, when he entered this realm to put himself on display, put one of these on. Okay. So it was always his plan to present us as holy, unstained, we're innocent in his eyes, and then that he would adopt us as delightful children. And so through our union with Jesus Christ, through his tremendous love that cascades over us, would glorify his grace. For the same love that he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. I did not write this. Paul wrote this. Is that fair? It's not my opinion. And this unfolding plan brings him what? Great pleasure. All the mysteries that we share with you, Christ in you, the kingdom of God in manifestation, the coming of Christ, the offering gift of the Holy Spirit, all of that. Why? To make sons and daughters. That's why he did it. Galatians 3:26, Paul writes this, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there's no more Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're all one in him and restored us, brought us back to innocence. Colossians 1:19-22, you can read that. It's powerful what he did through Jesus Christ. He made everything right. Everything on the earth and heaven he reconciled to himself. He did it. Why do we struggle with it? Because we think we're supposed to do it. And it's okay that when you stumble, you regret it. I'm in the same boat because I want to manifest Christ all the time. I always want to manifest him and his love and his nature. But I stumble sometimes. It's okay to have some regret, but I don't throw in the towel. I don't climb in the hole of no impact. I don't put the devil out of a job and beat myself up. I get up and I keep going because that's what honors him, is that I believe him. Even when my eyes tell me different, I still believe him, and that honors him. You know, there was a gentleman from another church that had invited me over one night to eat the word with him, and I was going to spend a couple of hours with him. And I walked into his house. And he said, I have been sitting with the Lord in some scripture. I was in Galatians 3:26. He said, did you know we're sons of God? He was lit. I think the Lord sent the right guy to his house, too. I totally affirmed everything. I was a Christ confirmer in that moment. Let me just encourage you, brother. The Lord is speaking to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. He was blown away. He couldn't believe it, Kyle. He couldn't believe. He said, I've grown up in church my whole life. I thought the only son or offspring of God was Jesus Christ. But I'm a son. Because Christ lives in me. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. It's awesome. God is awesome. So now, because of this, we've been joined together with God. His presence spilled out of the tabernacle, and now you're the dwelling place of God. 2 Corinthians 6:16, New Living Translation. What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we're the temple of the living God. We're now His dwelling place. This is why Jesus, again, I'm going to recap, never said, hey, go back to the temple to find God. Well, then why do we meet? If He's in us, why do we meet? Because He made us one together. So we come together like this to act on and participate with our oneness. Because when He looks in this room, He doesn't see a whole bunch of Christs. He sees one Christ in this room. We belong to each other. We're members of each other. We're part. Amen? Adrian's an arm. Donna's a mouthpiece. Blinds the enemy. Some of you are fingernails. Armpits. We need us all, though. Amen. Let's keep reading, though. We're the temple of the living God. We're all one. We belong to each other. How you treat each other is how you treat Christ. Christ lives in each one of you if you're born again. So that's not a figure of speech. How you treat each other is how you treat Christ. And I'll give you one more. How you treat each other is how you treat yourself. Because you're all one in Him. Notice how the body works so good. Let me tell you why your body works good. Because the heart doesn't get put out with the liver every day. Well, I'll tell you what, liver. You stole the remote last night. And so, by God, I'm shutting down today. If the heart shuts down, we're all dead. Liver says, oh, no, you're not shutting down. I'm shutting down. And then the kidney's like, oh, no, you're not that self-important. I'm shutting down. Our bodies do not do that. Amen. The church could learn something from the human body. How we get along. The heart every day says, thank God for the liver. Thank God for the kidney. Thank God for the arms. Amen. So He says, we're the temple of the living God. God says this, I will live where? I will live in them. I'll walk among them. Make my home with you. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Therefore, come out from among the unbelievers or the unclean. Separate yourselves from them. Don't touch unclean things. I'll welcome you and I'll be your Father. And you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I think it's fair to say Paul caught the revelation. Jesus Christ came teaching. He came teaching it, and boy, even better than that, He came modeling it. If we learn to relate to God as Father, what does it look like? Well, we're going to get our identity from Him. That was such a great word that Ann Marshall had shared, and it's so interesting. Stacy and I were just talking with one of our children this week who's in their lower to mid-20s, but he was even bringing up the pressure he feels. He's got to arrive at some point. I'm coming up on this age, so it means I've got to be here. I've got to be making this. I've got to be living here. I've got to be doing this. And Stacy said, Caleb, sorry, I just gave it away. Sorry, Caleb. Caleb, we love you. God loves you. He orders your steps. Wherever you're supposed to be, hey, that's where you're at. Enjoy Him. There's no pressure from the world to be something or do something. And that's why Ann's word was all about, oh, yeah, they want to put pressure on you to arrive somewhere. You arrived the day you met me. The day you started walking with me. Our young people need to hear that. He's our source not only of identity, He's our source of worth, value, esteem, authority. He's our source for authority, provision, protection, purpose, guidance. He's the one who trains us in truth, security, significance, confidence. You know, when you're confident and you're trained in truth by your Heavenly Father, you're going to make better decisions. Look at this one. We touched on this last week, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, this word sons is huos, 5207, if you eat it. Child by birth or adoption, sharing the same nature as their father. And then verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what's the word? Abba Father. Now, wait a second. Jesus was a maniac because he comes calling God Abba Father. But now, even worse, he's passing it on to us. Is this in the Bible or did I make this up? This is in the Bible. God cannot lie. You have a spirit of sonship inside of you. The same spirit Jesus Christ walking around with that allows you to cry out, Abba Father. You can relate to God as your father, your source, your resource, your originator, your protector, your authority, everything. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So I think I have these up here. Let me throw them up here. Yeah, here's the first one. Sons of God, child by birth or adoption, sharing the same nature. That's who you are. Verse 14. This is verse 15. Abba Father. Term of endearment by a beloved child who's in an affectionately dependent relationship with their daddy papa. That's what the strong says. Awesome. You can eat that passage. Well, that was your assignment last week. And then technon. Children of God. One who lives in full dependence on Heavenly Father. Fully relying on Him in what? Willful submission. Wow, love that. Willful, loving, I would say, submission. Duty and obligation has no power. That's all religion can give you. It's threats. Sorry, I'm just processing through a few thoughts there. 1 John 3:1, you can write that one down. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Those who live in willful submission, which leads to them becoming more and more like Him. You want to be like God? Keep hanging out with Him. Stop hiding behind the veil or the bushes like Adam and Eve did. All right, you ready for one more? Let me find it. I don't see it. Galatians 4:1-7. All right. Well, let's turn there. Galatians 4:1-7. This is very important because of the terminology that's used in it. There's Bibles there in front of you if you need one. Galatians 4:1-7. It's on page 1451. Or 519. I might have left that one off, but that was an accident. This is very important. If you're there, say amen. Amen. See how much time we have. Okay. Now I say that the heir, this is Paul writing to believers, as long as he's a child, doesn't differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. So what he's saying there is that even though the child is going to get the inheritance, the child doesn't differ from a slave because he doesn't get the inheritance until he's of age. Verse 2, he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So what's the purpose of sending Christ? That's right, that we might be adopted as God's sons. Adopted as God's sons. I know, yes, he came to die on the cross. That was a means to an end. It is not the end. The cross is only half the gospel. The other half is he did it because God was looking to make spirit-born sons of his own nature. And it's profound. Even the angels long to look into what happened to you as a new creation. Now look at verse 6 and try to hold on to your seat, people. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth. Who did it? God. God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. There it is. How about that? Jesus came to share. Jesus isn't a hoarder. All that he has, all that he taught, all that he demonstrated, he came to give to us. And then verse 7, therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Scott, you guys can come. Does this remind you of anything? You're no longer a slave, you're a son. Does that remind you of a story Jesus told? Super popular. Luke 15. Come on, somebody help me. Parable of, yeah, the faithful father. We know it as the parable of the prodigal son. But I'm with Ron. It's really the parable of the perfect father. Because both the boys are jacked up. That older brother is as religious as the day is long. Lo, these many years I've served you, you never gave me one thing. Oh, is that, that's why you loved your dad, is because stuff he gave you? And you're missing the point that all that is left is yours. Everything you see is yours. Why couldn't he see it? Jealousy, envy, bitterness, pride, resentment. Hey, all those things will blind you. You'll never see how blessed you are when all you can do is look what God did to somebody else. Now, I'll give him that calf, the fatted calf, was his. You guys ever thought somebody else got blessed with something that should have been yours? We need to watch how we respond to that. Because ultimately, it's all his. It's all his. You say, well, God's not fair. No, he's not fair. He's just. You remember the laborers in the vineyard? One guy worked 8 hours. He got paid the exact same that the guy who worked 1 hour. And then Jesus said something so profound. He said, hey, is your eye evil? Are you stumbling over this because I'm good? Because you fell into, instead of look how good the father is to the younger brother. The older brother's like, man, by God, I deserve more than that guy. It shouldn't have been mine. Pride. Pride. Believe me, you don't ever want to go to God and say, give me what I deserve. Don't do that. I got rights, man. I got rights to that promotion. That should have been mine. How dare God give it to that other guy? He's lazy. Jesus says, is your eye evil because I'm good? In this, when we're talking about knowing God as Father, maybe next week we'll get into that whole parable. We'll break that whole thing down. There's so much gold in that parable. Gold in them there heels. All right, where was I? What was I doing? Amen. I was preaching. That's right. I was preaching.
Keep preaching.
Good preaching, little preacher. So what I was getting at is, does this sound familiar? that prodigal son had messed up so much, what was his request? Did he want to be a son again? Slave. Galatians 4 says, you're no longer a slave, you're a son. And so Jesus exemplified what was coming by the Father lavishing love on that smelly, stinky, foolish boy. Right? The love all came before the bath, people. Think about it. And so it is with you. Amen? So it was with me. The love came before the bath. And he didn't even barely get his speech out. And the Father had already tackled him. And then he tried anyway. Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And the Father said, hey, bring out the fatted calf and put a ring on his hand again, because he's my son and he can represent me. Put the family robe on his back. He can represent me. And then put sandals on him, because that was the difference between servants and sons. Servants didn't have shoes. Family members did. Will you stand with me? I want to give you one final thought just to consider, and we'll wrap it up. But you're no longer slaves. You're sons. So relate to God as a son. And if you're confused about who your Heavenly Father really is, do me a favor. Do all of us a favor, your coworkers, your family, your spouse, your children. Do us all a favor and go study Jesus Christ. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the nature, his heart of hearts at his core. John 1:18. Jesus came from the bosom, the heart of the Father, the core center of his being. You've seen me. You've seen who he really is. It is a law of life that how you believe God is towards you is how you are towards other people. That is a law. How we believe he is towards us. If we see him as loving and redemptive and kind and forgiving, that will come. That fruit will come right out of us because we're abiding in it. But if you see him as the Godfather, who'll break your legs, you don't give him what he wants, then that's how you'll be. You'll be jury, judge, executioner to people around you. So let's make that a point this week. Let's really get into, we are followers of Christ. Let's really get into knowing God as our Father. If you want to know more about the nature and character of your Father, look at Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, by him saying, well, no, I'll get into that next week. John 14 talks about, if you can't see the Father in my nature, believe because of the works themselves. So when you see me good to lepers, when you see me heal the lepers, the woman caught in adultery, you see how I treat her. If you can't see it in my nature, look at the works I do. I'm revealing the Father for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Steve, I don't know God as Father. I've never been begotten as a spiritual son or daughter, but I want to receive his life in my heart and in my spirit. I want to be born again, washed in his blood and called his son. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, pray for me. Anybody? I want to be born again. Anyone? Young people? Anybody? Greatest decision you can make. All right. Gathered church, if you're with me and we're going to purpose to really know him as Father, I want you to open your hands. Father, this week, we want to really purpose to partner with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Would you do what you promised and reveal who our Father really is in and through Jesus Christ? And then, Lord, take out our stinking thinking as we have maybe related to you from distance or separation. We repent of that. And Father, we are in your family, and we purpose to live each day as part of you and you part of us. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Go ahead and clap your hands. Amen. Let's worship together.